Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. I am pleased to have two guests on the show this morning. Susan Begance is a multi-published novelist, and Dee Dee Lake is an author and army wife. These two authors have teamed up to create the Rules of Engagement series with two books so far, Camouflage Christmas and Operation Allegiance, and a third book in the series soon to be released. Good morning, ladies. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, it's a blessing to have both of you here today, and I'm excited to talk to you about this series. And let's kick our discussion off with the question, how did you two authors meet each other? I'm sure there's a story behind that.
Kind of, yeah. So we met in 2014. It was my first conference, like big conference to go, writers conference to go to here in Estes Park at Colorado Christian Writers Conference. And Susan, it was your first time there too, right? Susan was there as an editor. I was there just as a very newbie, had no idea what I was doing. And so I didn't have anything set up ready to give to when you have these meetings with everybody, like the author has a meeting with publishers, agents, editors, those kind of things. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to sit down here with Susan and see what she says. And so she didn't have an appointment and I had some free time. So we just sat down together and started talking. I'll let you tell the rest of it, Susan.
Yeah, it was my first meeting as a faculty member at the Colorado Christian Writers Conference. And Dee Dee was so sweet because she was asking how I was doing, which was kind of unusual when you're faculty. But she pitched her story to me. I'm going to skip the more risque parts of our talk. But she pitched her story to me, and I loved the idea of these military romances. And year after year, as we kept coming back to the conference, we would room together. We would have these late-night conversations, just getting to know each other. But even during the year, I'd be messaging her, emailing her, and saying, where's your story? Where's your story? Where's your story? So, yeah, we went from that initial pitch session to becoming very, very good friends, and me nagging and harassing her until finally in 2018, I just felt like the Lord was nudging me, and I just said, why don't we do them together? So that's how we got here.
That's interesting. I met both of you at the different conferences. Susan, I want to say, though, that I've met you at the Philadelphia conference. Have you been back there to that one?
I have been to Philadelphia as well, yes.
I think that's where I met you. Dee Dee, I know I met you out here in Colorado.
Bam, you did.
Dee Dee, you live in Colorado.
And Susan, where do you live?
I live in the middle of the country. I'm in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. All righty. So you can get to go to both conferences.
Yep.
Dee Dee, you're published in nonfiction. You wrote the book, The Next Step, I believe it was called. I've Accepted Jesus, Now What? And that was for young people. Susan, you have quite a few novels to your credit.
But Dee Dee, you had an interest in writing fiction before teaming up with Susan.
I did. So I actually started, like Susan said about, I pitched my story to her. The story, the book that's right now on Allegiance, Operation Allegiance, is actually the original couple that we began writing with, but it winds up, it's the book two in the series. But anyway, I started that story when we lived in Panama over 30 years ago. And I've got friends over the years, just like my dear friend Susan, that have questioned, where's the story, where's the story? Because they heard about it a little bit. And I just never could seem to get it done. And so I started writing nonfiction as a column, and then I wrote the book, The Next Step. But my heart really was fiction. I love fiction. So when Susan said she wanted to be a writing partner with me, I was so honored because I was like, oh, I've never written a fiction, so are you sure? But anyway, I'm so glad that we partnered with this. But yes, I've been interested in writing fiction for a long time.
sounds like that was maybe a God thing, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Dee Dee, I'm glad to hear you had that story on ice for 30 years, because I've also had a story in the works for many, many, many years, decades.
I want to encourage people, too, that, you know, I mean, like, I didn't start going to the conferences that year. I had turned 50, actually, at the conference. And so you, just because you didn't start your writing career early, you can still do it now. I mean, it's never too late. And there's Lois Looney. I don't know what she was, 70, 80 before she published her first book at the Colorado Christian Writers Conference. She goes there. But I was so encouraged by her. I thought, you know what? I can do this. This is, you know, fun. And also now being an empty nester makes it a whole lot easier to write, too.
Yeah, Louise is an amazing lady. I've had her on the show a time or two. Well, Susan, you don't have a military background. So what sparked your interest in this military romance story?
Well, I may not have a military background, but I do have a deep appreciation for the military. You know, my grandfather was in World War II in the Army, and he actually wrote a journal, which I have published, called Journey to Lekapani. It's only 19 pages long, but it's his journal entries while he was in World War II in India. And so I have a deep respect for what our soldiers do for us and their families, and I didn't understand all of it, obviously. So I love the idea of writing stories that would not only honor the journey that these people take as they serve our country, but also help people like me, civilians, have a deeper appreciation for what that is.
Yes, and I'll share with the both of you that when I was in nursing school, that was my dream, was to join the Air Force. I couldn't wait. And when I went to the recruiter, they wouldn't accept me because I have a visual impairment. So I was quite disappointed, but my sister got to do what I wanted to do. She served 20 years in the Air Force, but I worked for the Veterans Administration, and I worked with veterans for a good portion of my psychiatric nursing career. And today, I'm involved in the Veterans of Foreign Wars here in our community, and yes, I have a deep respect for veterans, and my husband was a Vietnam veteran, and I have the highest respect for those men and women who dedicate their lives and their time to serving our country. So I'm glad to hear that you also have that sense of pride.
Yep.
So tell us about the two books in your Rules of Engagement series.
The whole series is trying to highlight the military lifestyle as yes. We have our characters walk through their faith arc and romance. So it's kind of a neat little twist in there. It's not a series that is military heavy, like mission stuff like that. We're not really talking about that so much as we are about the relationship of people who are in the military or related to someone who's in the military. The series follows the Sava family, and there's five siblings, and each one of them, how they get connected to the military. And like the first book, Camouflage Christmas, which is a little novella, it highlighted, and that's, you know, the military children. I don't really know where the term brats came from, but we're quite proud to call ourselves brats because I was a Navy brat and an Army wife. But they, one, we tried to, in each book, really highlight something. One of our soldiers is a wounded warrior. One doesn't want to marry a soldier because her dad had been in the Army. She was a brat, and she was like, I don't want that kind of lifestyle. Not that she didn't appreciate the military, but she just knew how hard it was to continuously move your family, you know, over and over again. Like for myself, I've lived in 50 houses over the years because of being in the Navy, being a Navy brat and an Army wife. But I've moved a few times.
Wow.
Let me just say, brat. Dee Dee said she didn't know where that came from. It actually was coined in 1921 in a book, believe it or not, and it stands for British Regiment Attached Traveler. So it was assigned to families who were traveling abroad with a soldier, and then later it just referenced military children, and it's used around the world for military children. So that's here.
That now, Susan, I forgot that I knew that.
Thank you for clarifying that, ladies, because I'll tell you why. Because with my sister and brother-in-law having been in the Air Force and raising a daughter, she was much more disciplined than my kids ever were. And I often think, how in the world did they come up with the term brat for military kids? Because in my opinion, they kind of grow up toeing the line. So I'm glad that you shared that, what that means now.
We grow up with the threat over us that if our dad gets called into the commander or the first sergeant's office, we are in more trouble than he is. So we make sure we don't get on that list.
Oh, I'm sure.
But also, the first book, I'll tell you about the first book, and then Susan, you'll tell about the second book. The first book, is, like I said, came out in September, and we just wanted to kind of kick off the series. The characters, Bernard and Brooke. Brooke is a twin to our character in the first novel, The Allegiance. But it's just about these two that go to officer candidate school. She's going to be a nurse, and he's going to be a doctor, and it's their officer training, so it's when they're becoming an officer. And he knows that she's going to be there, but I don't think she does. She's kind of surprised by him. But he's got a plan to woo her. And throughout the book, she keeps getting they're in training, so it's not like they're going out, you know, on dates or anything. So it's kind of a difficult time for him to try to woo her when he can't even hold her hand. And so Susan came up with some great ideas for the gift that she would receive as a surprise for the 12 days of Christmas. And all, of course, everybody then gets engaged in like trying to figure out who it is and what's going to be next. But it's always things that are very connected to her. And it has to be somebody that really knows her. And she's so blind about it, she doesn't even realize, you know, who it is. So it's just a really cute, fun story. We've heard people refer to it as a Hallmark story or a Lifetime, you know, sweet Lifetime movie.
Right. Operation Allegiance is the second book in your series, and it came out on the 21st of March a couple of days ago.
Yes. Yep. We're so excited. We love the cover.
Yes. But, yeah, so Operation Allegiance, like Dee Dee had said, was the first book we wrote together. And when I got all the stuff that Dee Dee had given me, she had so much information, research she had done, and she had started writing. So I looked at all that and I'm just like, you have so much here. I think we could do a series, which is how we've ended up having more than just one book. But we started with Alexos, and these are names that Dee Dee came up with. So Alexandros, Sava is his last name. He's a military helicopter pilot, which was kind of born out of the fact that Dee Dee's husband was a military army helicopter pilot. So we decided we would, you know, give him a romance. And we had this other character, Kobe, who is the twin of Brooke, who is in the first book, Camouflage Christmas. And she's the army brat who doesn't want to marry a military man. So, you know, and Alexos has got some issues. You know, he had an issue, and it shows up in the prologue where his faith got kind of shook and he decided to go to the army instead of becoming a pastor, which is what he originally had dreamed to do. So he didn't really have a lot of room for allegiance to anything else other than the military. God kind of steps in, I think, in a way and allows him to be forced to look at that a little more closely through the circumstances he ends up in. So brings him back from South Korea to Colorado Springs, and then he meets Brooke, and, you know, it goes from there.
The rest is history.
The rest you have to read. I don't want to give any spoilers.
Absolutely. Well, I was fortunate enough to get a preview read of the book, so I know all about it. And I want to thank you, ladies, for that.
Yeah, but I don't want to give the listeners spoilers. I didn't want to say how he ends up back, and but that's kind of the core issue that he's facing, because we do have a faith line to this story, and obviously he has to come to grips with his past, and she obviously has to come to grips with the fact that we can't always control everything in our lives, and we can say that we will never do something, and that's sometimes exactly what God will say we should do.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen here on Blog Talk Radio. We are featuring two guests today, multi-published novelist Susan Begance and author and army wife Dee Dee Lake. These two authors have collaborated to create the Rules of Engagement military romance series. If you would like to listen to this episode again, or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is available on archive The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheene.com. That is spelled PATTISHENE.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to all the episodes we have aired to date. Under each episode is a More Information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview.
I want to share about the rules of engagement. We decided to name each of our characters that's in Brooke, Kobe, the twins. They're each named after a military post that their parents were in, and so is all yes. their siblings. So I say all this. We had one more sister. And so they're all named after a military post or a base that they had been to.
I also love the title, Rules of Engagement. I think, boy, that is just absolutely genius, because you think of the service and wartime and rules of engagement, and yet you're talking also romantic engagement. So I thought that was amazing that you guys came up with that title for the series.
That was a team effort.
Yeah, I would say it was all Susan. But yeah, we did talk through that one, but she had the ones for like the different names, like Allegiance and Skirmish, Reconnaissance, those are the other ones that are coming. And I was just so impressed. Just, I will tell you, Susan does an amazing job of researching. So I love that she has that background and that skill or desire, because for me, that is not my favorite thing to do.
Look at the titles of your other books, Susan. I can't remember them offhand, but they all are so catchy.
Pest on Potholes, Salsa and Speed Bumps, and they go on from there. And Yeah.
And I thought, wow, those titles are just really cool.
Thank you.
Again, I don't want to give a whole lot about the book away either, of course. And I encourage my guests when they come on the show, talk about your book just enough to encourage people to buy the book, but don't tell the whole story. So that's exactly what you did. But I did want to say that one of the main themes, in my opinion, was forgiveness. And I thought you did a very good job with that. And also the God is in control. So I just wanted to congratulate you both on bringing out those two themes in a very strong manner.
So tell
us, how do you carry out your writing process as co-authors? Does one of you write a chapter and then the other one has to get the characters out of that situation? Or how do you do that?
Okay, so Dee Dee had started writing Operation Allegiance, and I took what she had started with and all of her research, and I kind of rewrote some of it, and then we talked, we brainstormed a lot, and then I wrote the story. Actually, that one was the hardest one to write, because I write by the seat of my pants. I don't plot things out. And Dee Dee was a planner, and she had very specific plot ideas and points that she wanted in the story. So we had lots and lots of Zoom meetings, and her husband Seth was in on those. And then I would write. I wrote the rough draft, and then I sent it to her, and then she went through it. And we don't track who writes what. So when she makes changes, I don't even know what she's made changes in, you know, because we want it to feel seamless so that if I read it again, I can't tell that it's her voice or mine.
Oh, okay.
So it's in a way, it's like I'm a ghostwriter, although as we keep going with this process, there's more and more that Dee Dee is writing from scratch, because I will leave things for her to write, things that she and only she could know,
right,
you know, about being someplace. So like in book 3, Operation Reconnaissance, the character goes to South Korea. Well, I've never been to South Korea. So what would South Korea be like in winter, Christmas time? She can describe that stuff because she's been there. So it's a way to get Dee Dee into doing more and more writing and feeling more confident in her writing skills. She does write a lot. She adds a lot to the stories, and obviously they're her stories. It's just we put my name on them just to help because, well, if I'm going to write a book, I'd like some credit for it. But I wanted to see her dream come true. That's how it kind of started, because these stories were birthed in her. And every single story, we definitely go through and we have plot points and we flesh out those characters. And then I kind of take it from there. And then my goal is always when she reads that rough draft that first time that I surprise her with something. Because I figure if I can surprise her, who kind of knows what's supposed to happen, then we can surprise the reader.
Mm-hmm. And she does. It's always amazing. I'm like, oh, that's such a great point. It's so funny though, because there is that I think, did I write that? Like, and then I realized, no, she wrote that. it's been a lot of fun doing it back and forth. And I think Susan's learned a lot too about the military. One of the things that I got a giggle with, you can't buy a house on post. And she had one of our characters buying a house on post. So I was like, yeah, we can't do that. So just those kind of things that as a military wife or, you know, brat, you just sort of know, you know what I mean? It makes sense that you could, but yes, you can't. Also, I had to help with Susan's wanting to call, because I think she watched too much JAG or one of those Navy shows, kept calling everything a base. And I'm like, no, it's a post, Army post.
That's true. Yeah. The terminology that between the different branches of the military can be very specific and yet mean the same thing. But I've watched shows that are different military stuff, because to be honest, the Army doesn't really get a whole lot of, you know, media like television shows about it in a more not so much war issue kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know those things, and that's kind of some of her cleanup process is correcting all my errors.
And then there are things that I question myself too. I'm like, is that how it is? So then I have to go to my guru, my husband, who had a 30-year Army career, so he kind of knows, or he'll at least research it. A lot of things have changed, even the 16 years he's been out. So, like the uniforms, that was something that we had to try to get, make sure that we don't want to ever throw somebody out of the story by a mistake in our description. And so that's why we're trying to be real careful about making sure that those are accurate. Like, one thing, like we're talking about relationships, and so in the military, you know, they have a relationship with a superior officer or, you know, an officer, and so we had to make sure those things didn't happen, that it flowed like it would naturally in the military lifestyle.
And it's wonderful, Dee Dee, that you have that experience, and you have not only your own experience but your husband to draw on, so that you are going to be accurate. And another point I wanted to bring up, of course, here on Step Into the Light, we try to talk about how you and your writing bring light to people who are in a dark place. And I don't like to think of our military men as being in a dark place and women, but sometimes they are. So how do you think that your writing is maybe brings light to those who are in the military?
I'm so glad you asked that question. This excites me so much. I love that we can show that you can be all military, all, you know, gung-ho, but still have in the core of you your relationship with Jesus Christ, and that you can have a relationship with your spouse and family, that you can love them. There can be romance there. So you don't have to choose one or the other. And so we are showing how some realistic situations that people find themselves in. We have a single mom that has a child that has special needs, and so it's like that happens in the military. So what happens to the child when she gets deployed? You know, so we have, you know, a romance built on that, and, you know, around that. So we like that we're really showing them in some practical ways too. Like one of our books, Skirmish, he teaches her how the wounded warrior how to learn scripture and what it means. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it had that real entering with her. And that's what we need to show in our military families, that just because you're in a military family, you move around, connections are really hard because you move so often, and you move to places that you don't know anybody sometimes. And that really can be difficult for people, but we always know the Lord and we always know our spouse. So those are some grounding points for the military family and couples. But what I like really is that we get to show that your faith can grow and that you can be basically a missionary in the military. I mean, on the government's dime, which is even better than having to raise your own funding. So that was.
Yeah, that's very true. Susan, you can't relate to this, but Dee Dee, do you feel like you maintain the relationships that you have? You've been in 50 different posts and locations. Do you feel like you maintain the relationships that you developed, like, say, you know, 20 years back or 15 posts ago, or not really?
Right. Well, before social media, it was hard, but I still continued.
Yeah.
I would always, one of the tricks that I did, and if your readers are out there, I mean, if your listeners are out there, hear this, I always got all my friends' information, but I also got their point of contact back in the States, or like a grandparent's address and phone number, so that if I wanted to get a hold of them, I could go to the grandparents or whoever it was that was back, you know, that was their home spot, you know, basically home base. And that way it helped me stay connected. But now with Facebook and all that, I have amazing ability to see my friends that were back in high school. But now we're all old people, and so it's kind of fun to get to see them, you know, that they've aged and I haven't, you know, I'm just saying. But it's just, it's so good to be able to keep a hold of them. I just talked to a friend of mine from high school yesterday, and we're all trying to raise money for him because he needs a kidney, and he's, you know, in stage 5 cancer with his kidney. And so we still connect with each other, and we support one another because we are that connection with each other. You know, when you say to a, when you meet somebody and they say they're a brat, there's that automatic connection. Or if you say I'm an army wife, it's to another military wife. You have that, I don't know, it's just that, it's like being a believer. You know, when you find out somebody's a believer, you just have that, your heart has a unity to it.
Yes.
So my longest friend, we met in junior high. I was in 7th grade. She was in 8th grade in Spain. And I instantly didn't like her because I was a tomboy. You know, hung out with all the boys, and then they saw her. She's beautiful. It's like, hey! So they didn't want to play ball with me. They wanted to go sit and talk to her. And eventually, I got over myself. And she's amazing. Her name is Tammy. She lives in Florida. Hey, Tammy. So we still maintain that friendship. I absolutely love her. But that's probably my oldest friend. I mean, my longest friend is from 7th grade. Before that, I really, like, elementary or something like that, I don't have really a lot of memories of that because I moved so many times. Like my junior year, I went to 3 high schools. So it was definitely, I moved around a bit.
Well, I know with me working with the Veterans Administration, I stayed in the same place for like ever out here in Colorado. But several folks came and went, you know, they came to a VA and they worked for 2-3 years and then they were gone. And we kept in contact with each other for a while. But then after a while, those friendships kind of drop off. But I would think with the military that there's even more of a bond there because of that whole lifestyle is just different, you know, from the average person. So I kind of wondered. And
yeah, a lot of us don't see our grandparents or, you know, families for 3 or 4 years, you know.
Yes.
Now, again, probably a little different because we have social media and if the grandparents are willing to get on and do that with them. But mm-hmm. Yeah, my one grandmother, I would only see her 3 or 4 times. You know, I mean, every 3 or 4 years, one of my grandmothers came to live with us when I was 10. And so we were special because we had a grandma and she was grandma to all the kids, you know, because,
aww,
you know, like, especially in Spain, anybody right there. So yeah, you become family, you bond. One thing I do want to say though, there, the people that support the military, I met a lady at my church and she's just the neatest lady, young lady. And she said, you know, it always broke my heart because I would become friends with these military kids and they would move away. And mm-hmm. and then, you know, I'd have a friend, and I always got left. And I told her, I was like, you're the kind of people, though, that help military families stay rooted because you immediately welcomed them in, you loved on them, you spent time together, and you became part of their experience in that place. And another thing is we always like the place that we left better than the place we just got to once we get there. But when we're leaving a place, we like the place better. So funny. I just think that's hilarious about military people. You see them do that all the time. And we don't tell time by date. We tell time by where you live. If I give a story, typically, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like I told the story about my friend, that my junior high friend. I said, in Spain, because, you know, that's where I remember that she's at. And that's
right.
How we always start up with where you were first. And then you tell the rest of the story.
Interesting. Well, ladies, I really want to bring this up because I think it's important for our listeners to know. Some may not know this. National Vietnam Veterans Day is coming up in just a few days here on the 29th of March. And of course, I realize several listeners will probably listen to this show after March 29th. But still, it's an important day. It became a national holiday with President Trump in 2017. He was passed that into law that Vietnam Veterans Recognition Day would be celebrated on the 29th of March every year. So as an Army wife, Dee Dee, what are ways that we can recognize Vietnam veterans that is most meaningful for them? And Susan, does your community do anything for Vietnam Veterans Recognition Day?
Well, as for me, I'm not connected with any of the Vietnam Veterans Associations or anything like that, but I do know that they always appreciate when you see a guy with or a woman, but a guy with a hat on that says Vietnam vet, or you know, you recognize that they've been in the military. Just saying thank you to them, thank you for your sacrifice, means a whole lot. It seems very simple, but it is very important to just say thank you, especially the Vietnam vets who came back to, you know, not the greatest situation in the States. They weren't received well,
right?
And so. And generations now don't understand that, because that's not how we treat our soldiers. And so it's just, we learned from that was not good. But they still have the experience. They still have the wounds and the hurts from that. And so I think just saying to them, you know, thank you. You know, just taking a moment maybe to hear a story they have to say. You know, sometimes we have to slow down a little bit to be able to hear the stories that they want to share, so that we will learn and keep on going, learn from that, you know. Another thing you could do is go and put flags on the graves. That's a beautiful thing to do. I'm sure every military cemetery area has places where you can go and put flags. You can volunteer to do that. So just all kinds of, just looking for opportunities. I would Google your local area and see if you can find something for the Vietnam vet. And also, I think that, if I'm not wrong, I believe that March 29th this year will be the 50th year we started leaving Vietnam, or we left Vietnam. I'm not sure, but this year is like the 50th year, though. That's a pretty big year.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
In our community, on like Memorial Day and Veterans Day and Vietnam Veterans Day and 4th of July and all, we put up about 200 flags along our highways and in front of our businesses. We have a project that we do through the Veterans of Foreign Wars Auxiliary. And we've been doing that for a few years now, and it's very impressive, and people really enjoy that. And most of the communities in the Arkansas Valley do that. And then we also have, after the flag, putting up the flags, we have a little breakfast for our Vietnam veterans and welcome them to the VFW post and recognize them and honor them.
1 year when my daughter was in Girl Scouts, when we were at Fort Rucker. Ah, there you go again. Fort Rucker, Alabama, we went and helped put the flags out. I think it was Memorial Day weekend. And, it was such a great way to teach your children how to honor someone, and then also what they were honoring about. Why were these vets so important to us? And so I think we would do that with our kids.
The question was, you know, what are we doing? I don't know what's going on in my community. And to be honest, until I had gotten your sheet that mentioned it, I didn't even realize there was a National Vietnam Veterans Day. You know, there was a lot that Trump did that kind of didn't get highlighted. So
correct.
I didn't realize he did that. And I think that's awesome. I want to echo what Dee Dee said. Anytime I see any military person with their hat on, but it's usually a Vietnam vet, I always stop to say, thank you so much for your service. And it is so cool to see the expression on their faces when they know that somebody appreciates them. And I know my husband, like if he's at a Quick Trip and he sees a vet, he won't let them pay for like their donut or their coffee or whatever. He'll pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do that with police officers too, because he said law enforcement doesn't get a whole lot of respect either nowadays. But I think there's just an intentionality we need to have about people who serve our country, whether it's locally, like, you know, like with the police, or if it's nationally with the military. And doesn't matter if it's Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines, whatever. It doesn't matter. It just starts with just that awareness and that respect, which hopefully our stories will help people have a deeper respect for those who serve, whether they agree with what's going on politically or not.
Right.
They're doing what they've been called to do to serve our country. And we may not always agree with the actions that are taken on a larger scale, like with what happened with Vietnam and how people got all upset. But I think, you know, we have to remember these are human beings. And I know, like, even when my grandfather wrote his stuff, you know, I read his journal and you realize how young some of these people were going off to World War II. Well, Vietnam was no different. You know, you're talking some guys 18, 19, 20, 20. My grandfather already had his second child. But, you know, a lot of these people were so young. They're just babies. And they're going into the most horrific thing that a human being can have to go through. And we need to have respect for that, because that scars your soul. And offering the hope of Christ in the midst of that, too, with our stories, I think is so valuable.
Absolutely, yes. I'm so proud of you two ladies for bringing these kind of stories to the forefront, because I think that in today's society, we need to be more and more aware of what our military does for us and the sacrifices that they do make. And in my opinion, you very much brought that out in these two books.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes. One thing also, I live here by Fort Carson, and they shoot the artillery off, and it will rattle your windows if you live in a certain place, which mine is that way. And, you know, they have the neighborhood app. People will get on there and like, what's going on? Why is all that noise? They're like, you live next to an army post. Like, and I always get on there, like, when people start whining about it, I'm like, sounds like freedom to me. So that's
exactly.
They're practicing keeping us free, and so we need to support them. I mean, I don't enjoy my windows being rattled either. Some days it sounds like it's going to tear the house down, but, you know, it's just, it's, they've got to do it. And people are like, well, why can't they do it from 9 to 5? Somebody wrote recently. Yeah. So the enemy, like, 5 o'clock, time to stop. You know what I mean? That doesn't happen. Oh, it's raining today. We're not going to do it. I mean, that's just, you know, they've got to practice in all kind of weather and all kind of situations and times. So I always support them.
Most definitely. Well, ladies, I know that you have another book coming out in the series. Do you anticipate when that's going to be out?
It will be out June 27th, and it's going to be called Reconnaissance. And then the next one after that is, well, all of them are operations. So Operation Reconnaissance and then Operation Skirmish will come out in November, early November.
Cool. So there's more than three. I thought there was going to be only three. Oh, neat. Okay, very good.
And there may be a couple extra. We're working on that, trying to figure out what we're going to do with the next two, because we have two more stories we want to tell. It's actually the two girls of the Saba family, and we want to see. We've got some really neat outlines for them, so hopefully we'll get to put those out there, too.
Okay. Well, Susan, I know that you, both of you, you have also other lines of work here that you're involved in. Susan, I know that you're an editor.
I'm an editor with Pelican Book Group.
Yes. And Dee Dee, I know that you have your counseling service, isn't it?
Actually, it's called like a life coach. I do relationship coaching.
Yeah.
And that's one of my jobs. But the other is I work for Crossover Media, and they're actually the ones who published mine and Susan's book. I'm their author relations coordinator.
I wanted to make listeners aware that in addition to being authors, that you also have other talents, other things that you do. So, you're both very amazing ladies. And I think collaborating on this project has been really fun for both of you and a learning experience, and that you have a wonderful message to share with readers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a joy to work with Susan. She's as supportive as a friend and a sister in Christ, but the professionalism that she has is just amazing. She's on time. She's got it. And I'm impressed with that. And I want to emulate things that she does. So I'm just soaking it in. Whatever Susan's doing, I'm like, okay, teach me that. So
It's been fun to work with Dee Dee. I will say it's not all sunshine and roses, because it's hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be frustrating. And we both have lives outside of writing. We have husbands, we have children, we've got dogs,
right.
We've got, you know, churches and health issues that sometimes come up, you know, and so sometimes navigating all that can be a bit challenging, especially when we don't even live close together. But the one thing that I will say is we've really made it a priority to make sure our relationship is first. You know,
mm-hmm.
We pray together. We share life together, even from a distance. And then we write books. And, you know, because we don't want the process of writing a book and publishing a book and marketing a book and all that entails to ever damage the friendship that we had first.
Well, it's been a joy talking with both of you. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about that you're thinking, oh, man, I wish we had touched on this subject and we just didn't?
I will say that you can get the book on crossrivermedia.com or Amazon, and also any of the online, major online bookstores, so like Barnes & Noble. But those you can just get digital, I believe. But the rest of them you can get the printed book. So we'd love for you guys to read the series. Let us know what you think about it. That would be awesome, so we can know whether we're on the right path to continue. But yes, let us hear from you.
Reviews
Absolutely.
Are always, always, always appreciated.
Reviews are always welcome.
I say authors, chocolate, and reviews. So if we got Jesus. Most days we have chocolate, so then we just need reviews.
Well, ladies, I want to thank both of you so much for taking the time to share with me and to share with our listeners. And may God continue to bless you in your writing endeavors and all that you do.
Thank you. Candy. Thanks for having us.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PATTISHEENE.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the homepage. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.